Corey, when we left off yesterday, we was kind of closing out on this grant thing, and like kind of we was talking to, and actually I thought it was me being the administrator was my job as well as, of course, to review these documents, try to make sure that they were in the best possible shape to be in a position to be awarded so we could acquire these items for our law enforcement. One of the last things I had mentioned in reviewing them, also I had questioned, you know, I noticed states in here that most of the quotes are supposed to be states the quotes are to be within 30 days. And I noticed several of these were a couple months old. So that was naturally one thing I wanted to make sure was updated, you know, prior to them being sent. So with that, I guess I should approach them probably in the way they were voted on. And the first one presented by the officer was the one for the service weapon. So after that presentation, our exchange, you know, as far as my question, those things I felt was insufficient with this, I made the motion that we go ahead and allow them to apply with the contingency that the project manager be changed to the gentleman that presented. At the end of the day, that motion died for lack of a second. There was another motion made, and so the court, in a 5-1 vote, voted to go that route. I did state that on the second option, I did not vote, that I was in favor of the officers getting the weapons, but with the issues I saw, that I didn't feel comfortable voting on it as is. So that's the way that one ended. So that was passed, so they'll be able to apply for that. Following that, we kind of had the same deal. We had the vote on the body armor, at which point I also started out by making a motion that we go ahead and apply for the body armor. But I thought, Benz, we had already passed this resolution to apply for this grant a couple months ago, that we go ahead and utilize it, only amending up to the amount of vests that on top of what we had originally put in there. There again, that motion died for lack of a second. A new motion was made to allow it to go on as presented this time. So once again, I made them aware that I was very much in support of the officers receiving this and thought it was a very worthy grant. But with the issues with that grant, that I thought the original one would have been the best way to submit. But at the end of the day, we do have they are going to be able to apply and hopefully be awarded these grants.
The ultimate goal here is make sure officers are safe, protected, and have the equipment they need. So hopefully, regardless of how the paper trail goes, everybody works out just the way they need to.
Exactly. We like I said, at the end of the day, we hope they get the equipment is the main thing here.
So what was the next issue on the agenda?
The next listed item on the agenda was a sheriff's tax settlement. Yesterday afternoon, we received a call from Ms. Skidmore stating that she wasn't quite ready yet, so that item was not attended to last night.
So that'll be postponed to another meeting?
Exactly.
Okay. And beyond that, I know we also had some other interesting things come up, particularly within the Spark program, and Janelle Brewer, who we've interviewed on the show before and talked about the work that they're doing. I know she came to the court with some questions.
She did. I think in an effort to, you know, make everybody more aware of the service she's providing the community, and she had approached me and, you know, asked if there was any capacity that the court could potentially help her, whether it be space or funding. And I'd said, you know, I think the ideal scenario would be for you to come before the court, kind of make sure everybody's aware of exactly what you do, and try to give us an idea of the things you need to facilitate the work you're doing. So Janelle came before the court, gave a pretty good summary of the activities she's involved in as it relates to getting these people struggling with addiction and their families help. And also, kind of in the same vein, which we both on this show had Janelle as well as County Attorney Robert King. And he also, you know, joined in, and as well as we also had Mike Lockard that is naturally works with as a bailiff. So he gets to see those. So those both also kind of joined in the conversation. And so I think the court left the meeting a lot more aware of what she's doing. And I thought this was also another thing I think I mentioned there in the meeting. And I think we mentioned in some of the last week's episodes with Coroner Hondo Hearn, it's nice to see Powell County kind of ahead of the curve in a lot of these regards. And that was actually something that was discussed last night. You know, Janelle and Robert both said, and this goes back to our district judge as well, they're actually been, with the programs they've put in place to try to get these people help and have instituted, they're actually getting calls from all around the state of people wanting to know what we're doing and why it's working so much better and why are we having such a higher success rate of getting these people treatment. And it's pretty much having someone such as Janelle in the role of advocate and the relationship she's been able to form, they've been able to do several things that mitigate the cost associated with this and to actually be able to get these people into beds, as far as treatment beds, that a lot of people are really struggling with. So there was some discussion, and I further asked, the one thing she didn't bring, I've asked her to come back for, is actually kind of a budget of what she thinks it would take to, you know, allow her to do that job more efficiently, as well as if there's such space requirements or that kind of thing, as well as, you know, if we were able to have some kind of ability to help her in this, is it better to have it freestanding attached to the county attorney's office, that kind of thing. So she's going to follow up with that, and I think there's probably, we discussed potentials of some grants maybe to facilitate getting this position better funded or able to serve our community. So we're going to look at those options, and hopefully in the future we'll be able to get her where she's getting some compensation, which would give her the ability to do this more efficiently, I think.
Well, and it's great to see the county working with people who are involved in this kind of program, since that is something that, as Janelle said on this show and as she said during the meeting, this is something that touches all of our lives, and you can't really stress that enough. So it seems like a great program, and hopefully there can be some work there.
We had a little bit, I guess that kind of brought up one thing I failed to mention. You know, in that conversation last night, too, kind of went back, and I think we've kind of touched on it in this show before. You know, the addiction issue seems to be, there's kind of two sides of it. There's people that view some of these programs as facilitating that person, which I don't personally agree with. But that was the kind of the argument I made. Even if you're of that mentality, beyond the ethical, the human thing to do here in trying to help those individuals and those families affected by that, which like you touched on, I think in some capacity, probably every family. But if you go beyond that element of it, when you go back to the economic side, every member of our society, our community, is affected by the economics, you know, as a result here. So I said, even the people that don't necessarily agree with my view on those people and the human side, from the economic side, it only makes sense to have these programs. You know, if you look at the cost, and we talked about the cost of preventing an HIV case or a death or incarceration, what that equates to, the stress it takes off our services, and actually had some of our EMS services, and that's, you know, that's a prime example I used. If you look at our run volume associated with our ambulance department, we're probably having to run double the ambulances just to handle the results of these drug things, as far as whether it be overdoses, violence associated with them, and that goes into our law enforcement. If you look at their caseloads, they're pretty much primarily related, you know, when we've talked about it, our court system, everything, probably 80-85% of any of our emergency services runs or our court system caseloads are a result of drugs in some form or fashion. So beyond doing the right thing for these people, it's the economically sound thing to do to try to mitigate this and be proactive and get a grip on it.
Well, and even beyond our local government expenses, the financial ramifications of bringing these people back into the fold as productive contributing members of society in itself is a huge investment.
It is, and that's why I say, you know, naturally, hopefully, first and foremost, we save that individual, like you said, get them rehabbed. But you take the ramifications, you know, if that, just say that's a father or mother that's addicted, beyond the stress and naturally the family seeing that person hurt, there's usually kids involved. So, you know, at the point that we're able to get that family unit back together, them working, the state's no longer having to take care of that child. So there's all kinds of financial. So it does touch us all. And I think that's kind of the mindset that a lot of people need to start looking at. You know, what's it cost us not to address this problem? And exactly. Another point I made, that's what I said, and we've made several times, is we didn't get into this problem overnight, and it's not going to be fixed overnight. And it's going to take a lot of people working together to resolve it. And that's what I said, you know, all of our emergency service, any of our judicial system, bodies such as physical courts of cities, we're all going to have to realize this is all our problem. We all need to step up and see what we can do, work together to try to make the best push to combat this and prevent it from getting any worse.
Well, now, beyond that, what other issues did you see come before the court?
Well, without getting too deep, there's several different pots of money that's available to address our infrastructure needs. Naturally, in the county's allotment, they get from the fuel taxes, 3% of that's set aside statewide, and that's available for emergencies that arise in infrastructure. And due to some of the weather-related events we've had over the last little bit, we actually had two items or two issues that had arose that I had submitted to the state for emergency funding, one being a landslide on Cane Creek, Upper Cane Creek Road, and the second being a bridge that, on Little Hardest Creek Road that the embutments had started to collapse on as a result of some flooding and things of that nature. So I had applied for those and had finally got word back. We were awarded the emergency funding for the landslide on Upper Cane Creek Mountain. So we will be getting quotes on that, and hopefully we'll be able to get that issue as far as the steel drove in pretty short order.
Wonderful.
And that's one of the benefits. Naturally, when you have what's termed an emergency event, it gives you a little different ability to approach it and get it facilitated a little quicker. They did deny the bridge on Little Hardest Creek for the emergency funding, but they did go ahead and give it to us in our 80-20 bridge program. So we will be able to get it addressed. It'll just take a little different process and a little bit more time. So the fortunate thing is both of those projects will be remedied. Naturally, because the one was awarded emergency, we'll be able to address it just a little quicker, but we will get both of those taken care of.
Well, great. And I mean, I'm sure the people who live in those areas are thrilled to death to hear that too.
Well, we are, we got about 2 minutes left in the show. What do you want to close us out with? What else do we need to know about the meeting?
Well, I think probably one of the things that led to a lot of discussion was that we had on the agenda listed as road and utility ordinances. Probably come back tomorrow and hit on it. It's going to take a little time. So really, we're kind of getting, I think, as far as a breaking point, we're probably to what we can really get through without having to cut it in two. So,
right. I agree. That was a pretty lengthy conversation. We should hold off till tomorrow on that one. But let's just go back for a minute then to the road issues and things. I know there's more you can elaborate on there. And that's something that affects all of us.
One point that I wanted to make there, and I failed to do so when we originally discussed that, was, you know, here's a prime example. And here's where our public is such a part of what we do on a daily basis. If I'm going to use the example of the Little Hardest Creek Bridge, it's a prime example. You know, naturally, the damage that was happening to that bridge wasn't visible from the top of the road there. So you had to actually get down at creek level or below and be able to see that. And we were very fortunate. We had a landowner that adjoined that property that actually made myself and Magistrate Rice aware of that problem. So I guess that's kind of what I wanted to point to. If somebody sees something with our infrastructure or any of our services for that matter, their input is very vital to us, making sure that we're aware that those problems exist. You know, myself and I know several of the magistrates and road foremen and the example of roads, we're on roads almost daily, county roads, but naturally we don't get over them all every day. So things can creep up that people take for granted that we know that we don't. So don't ever take for granted if you see something. Like I said, with one of our services that you think could be done better or a problem with our road, go ahead and contact myself or one of the magistrates and let them know, because all too often those assumptions that we know may not be correct, and therefore you have a situation, and that's like with this bridge. If that gentleman had not let us know, right now it's still structurally sound, and so we're being proactive. We're going to get ahead of it before it gets to be a problem. But had we not been made aware of it, you know, this thing continued to deteriorate, you could have a situation where you basically had a bridge and there's a large population serviced by that bridge that were kind of trapped for a bit. So
you run into both the inconvenience for the community while it's repaired and an exceedingly large cost that you may have been able to avoid.
That's exactly right. So I appreciate that. We get a lot of that, and I want to encourage more of it. But just our citizens, you know, working with us to let us know what their needs are, what deficiencies they see, and it's, you know, if they see something that's going well that they like, you know, let us know. We're going in the right direction that way. So that's who we're here to serve, and we want to make sure we do it in our to the best of our abilities, and that really involves them being a part of the equation, and we're very fortunate for the most part that that's very much how it operates.
Well, Judge, that's going to wrap us up for today, but we'll come back tomorrow and we'll do a part 3 of the fiscal court meeting, and we can really address
the infrastructure issues that came up that are of extreme importance to a lot of people within our community.
Thank you.